Well, good morning. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? In terms of what we deal with or don't deal with or think we have to deal with, or, you know, even the virus stuff, you know, it just puts it in perspective. And, you know, this morning we're kind of continuing the theme of the church in that way, and things that we need to do as a body of believers and a board and leadership. If you notice the title of the sermon that I pushed out this morning in our in the email, it's Mission and Vision. And, you know, it's interesting, probably many people already know this, but, you know, as we look even at the world perspective, most businesses have some kind of mission and vision statement associated with them. I'll read some of them. JetBlue, their mission is to inspire humanity both in the air and on the ground. Tesla, it's all right, is to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. LinkedIn, connect the world's professionals to make them more productive and successful. PayPal is to build the web's most convenient, secure, cost-effective payment solution. Amazon, who knows what that is, but to be the Earth's most customer-centric company where customers can find and discover anything they might want to buy online and endeavors to offer its customers the lowest possible prices. Nike, bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And if you have a body, you are an athlete. Nordstrom's, for those shoppers in mind, to give customers the most compelling shopping experience possible. Disney, to entertain, inform, and inspire people around the globe through the power of unparalleled storytelling, reflecting the iconic brand's creative minds and innovative technologies that make ours the world premier entertainment company. How about Facebook? They're in a little scrutiny, aren't they? Connect with friends and the world around you on Facebook. So again, we see that from a world's perspective. It really shouldn't be anything new when we talk about companies and whomever, you know, that there are mission statements, there are vision statements that go along with those. That's why some of you, and I appreciate your responses. I don't just do that to humor you. I actually do it with something in mind. And as I pushed out at least two things this week, some of you may have seen that, and many responded. One of the questions was, what is your number one spiritual goal you have for yourself or as a couple or as a family? I know that's kind of a tough question. Yeah, because maybe one of those things that we go, I don't know if I've ever really 100% thought of it that way or written it down or expressed it. But several of you responded. Some said, I won't give the names away, and is praying Ephesians 1:16-20 for myself, my children, and grandchildren. Somebody else wrote to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. 2 Peter 3:18. Someone said, walking faithfully with the Lord to the end, especially faithfulness in the word and in prayer. As a couple, reading God's word every day, drawing closer to God. Someone said to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, and teach my children the same. Simply, love God and love people. Someone else said to become a better Christian. So again, gives you kind of an idea. It was interesting. I kind of love doing that. It's fun to just see the responses, great responses. And you know, as we think about this, there's not necessarily a right or wrong. There's so many things that could identify and that we could relate to and think in terms of maybe personally for ourselves as a family, but again, to remember as a church family, what is our mission? You know, and that's kind of what we want to look at. Hopefully so you understand mission is kind of capsulizing why we exist as a church. And maybe, again, you haven't thought of it that way. What do you mean why we exist? We exist because of Jesus. Okay, good answer. You know, but why do we exist? What do we do as a church? What makes us unique? Even maybe unique compared to the other churches in Ray. And again, I hopefully just want to stimulate your brains, your heart, your soul this morning to kind of be thinking of these things. For us as a church, it's important. A mission helps to guide our decisions, our priorities, our actions, and responsibilities. So when we have a mission as a church, hopefully we're always able to kind of look at that, and it keeps us focused as to why do we do what we do. If this is my mission, am I fulfilling it by what we do on Sunday mornings, what we do on Wednesday nights, what we do in Sunday school, what we do in any way, shape, or form? Is it fulfilling that mission that we have established for ourselves? And I think that's important. One passage comes to mind, and you know, I will tell you, I am guilty as anybody coming up with mission statements that might be like a little generic. And I'll share that with you in a second. But again, what might be, and some of you mentioned this, you know, as we think of a mission, what about 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whatever you do, whether you're eating or drinking, do what? Do it all to the glory of God. Now, that, you know, we could just use that verse alone, couldn't we? I mean, that would be a pretty incredible mission. This is my mission. And some of you mentioned the glory of God in your mission, kind of your priority, your spiritual goal for your family. And you say, yeah, that's I agree with that. I don't think any of us would disagree. And I wouldn't want you to. You know, but as we look at that and we see that, to a certain degree, it's a little generic and maybe even a little ambiguous. And the reason I say that is there's a book I've been reading, and it's by Will Mancini. It's called God Dreams. And it's an entire book about vision and mission. And you're welcome to borrow it anytime. And, again, because even for me, as I think about it, I go, wow, yeah, what would be that for us? Or for any church? And what Mancini says, and you don't have to agree with this, but it was just another perspective. He says, you know, sometimes we use generic and ambiguous mission statements or even vision statements that maybe are biblical imperatives that should apply to all churches. In other words, sometimes we'll state the obvious. That's like, well, I would hope so. I would hope our goal and our mission as a church would be to love God and love people. As a teenager might say, ooh, duh. You know, like, really? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just a given. And I'm not saying it should be stated or shouldn't be stated. But just as we kind of maybe even wrestle through this to see that, or even we say, okay, it's kind of a given, it's a biblical imperative that applies to all churches. Hey, reaching and changing the world maybe is too vague. Again, that's why I said, a mission statement is why do we exist, and partially what makes us unique compared to other churches. And we'll look at that. You know, what if we were to ask Jesus or look at Scripture and say, what was Jesus' mission? I mean, hopefully we would all agree and say, well, we want to be like Jesus. You know, absolutely. So if we say that and we say, well, what was Jesus' mission? Could you think of a verse that would describe what Jesus' mission was? For me, and obviously there's a ton of them. What about Mark 10:45? When Jesus says that he came, what? Not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And again, you don't have to agree with me in terms of that, but I think it's pretty clear. I think we could probably pretty well agree. They go, yeah, that makes sense. That could be a mission statement for Jesus and why he came to earth. And if we say, well, as a church, we want to conform to the image of Jesus personally, individually, families, and as a family, as a church body of believers. So if that's the case, And again, as I mention these, I'm not trying to influence or say, this is mine and you got to go with it. I'm just, because the ideas just keep coming. I wake up at 2 in the morning and can't get back to sleep, then I'm writing these things down. That's just how Ray works, you know. Good or bad, it is what it is, you know. So, but again, as we look at that and say, well, what if that is? If Mark 10:45, then Jesus, his mission was to serve and to be a sacrifice. Definitely not a take, but a give attitude. Would people say that about us? Is that something that maybe makes us unique? Or do we come as individuals, as couples, as families, or whatever, and say, well, let's just see what has the church got for me? Because maybe we're a taker rather than a giver. And we say, yeah, but I want to conform to the image of Jesus. Wow, he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Are we doing that as individuals and families and as a church family? Does the community see us that way? I can't say yay or nay. I think the church does, from what I can tell, even in my short time here, and short time remaining, God willing, is that, yeah, it's a very generous church. And I think people would say that in many, many ways. But again, as we look at that and we say, wow, so what if we were to put that into some kind of mission statement based on Mark 10:45? You know, give to God, give to the church, and give to our community and the world. In other words, it's not about taking, it's about serving. You could put the word serving in there. And again, maybe Mancini would say, no, that's still too generic. I don't know. It's just fun to talk about these things. And I hope you will. What about Matthew 28, right? Used so many times. And probably if you've ever looked or been to other churches and you looked at their mission statement, it probably could include something from Matthew 28. You know? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a good mission statement even right there. To say, we want to make disciples. What if we said that is our main focus as a church? That we want to make disciples. Again, is that too generic? I don't know. But it's taken right from Scripture. It's a good thing. So as we even look at that, maybe that's a little vague. What if we look at the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:16, what does it say that he did? His mission, simply stated, was to come to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now that was a very specific, targeted group. Some don't like when we talk about maybe targeting in terms of, hey, what's our realm of influence? As a church, well, it's this community, and it goes beyond, obviously. Hopefully, it's local and global. But I think of it, you know, even when I was doing youth ministry, we talked to kids about evangelizing and sharing their faith with their kids. Now, I shouldn't pick on him, but Ronnie's here. He's like, you didn't warn me about this. But I'll just use him as an example, or anybody. Or if we say, Ronnie, you need to share your faith with somebody at school. Now, it would make sense. He's a football player. Probably other things. I don't know all the, but, you know, whatever. Now, it would maybe be almost kind of silly if we say, well, go share with one of the band members. Not that he couldn't or shouldn't, but his realm of influence, his kind of target group, is kind of most likely the football team. Just as an example. The same thing applies to all of us. The same thing applies to us as a church. And our realm of influence, again, just as Paul and his mission statement, in that sense, was, I'm going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And we might say something similar. We want to just preach the gospel to everyone. You know, and at bottom line, we just want to make sure the gospel is being preached out of this, from this pulpit. But again, or even when we look at John the Baptist, what was his? Matthew chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And I know everybody probably kind of knows the story. You know, as he is Matthew chapter 3, and it tells us John the Baptist came, and in verse 2, his message and kind of his mission was, I want to make sure people know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And he came as a voice, one calling in the wilderness, and this was part of his mission. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. I mean, I could see incorporating something like that. That's a good mirror. Hey, what are we doing? Yeah, we want to make sure people understand that there's a need to repent. Why? Because God wants to have a relationship with them. And he did all that was necessary by having Jesus die on the cross so that was possible and is possible. I mean, I like that in the sense of, hey, what should we be doing? Well, we know Jesus Christ is returning, even if we differ on kind of the whole time frame of things. Well, is he coming before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? That's a whole other sermon. I think before. And I'm preparing myself that way because I've taken no survival courses. I'm going to depend on my other retired chaplain buddy who's a prepper. Yep, I'm just going to go hook up with him in Mesquite, Nevada, and I should be good to go. Hopefully he has a big tent. And, again, as we think about that, you know, what a great thing. We know Jesus is coming back. Hey, our goal, our mission is we want to prepare the way for Jesus' return. So we see so many things in verses and different things that give us an idea, you know. What about some other churches? I could mention which churches these are. I don't. Again, anybody can look online and find these things, okay? But again, it was the last church I pastored as a youth pastor in Lincoln at the Free Church. And I looked up there. Their kind of mission, vision, whatever, is a diverse and authentic gospel-centered community of people in process, seeking to know and love God more deeply and display his love for our neighbors practically. Now, I'm not saying we look at somebody and go, yeah, that's good. Let's just steal that one. Remember, stealing is a sin. I could make some joke about plagiarism, but that might be politically sensitive. Okay, so I won't do that, you know, but it's a compliment, usually, right? So, again, it's not a bad idea to look at other mission and vision statements. I shouldn't go there off from the pulpit. I might share a funny story when we're all done. Just from Ray's personal life. All right, so we see that. We understand it. Here is another one. To glorify God by seeking to present every person complete in Christ. That's the Berean Church in Lincoln. I think, what do we figure, Keith? They maybe have about 5,000, 8,000. I don't, it's a large church, you know. But it doesn't matter on size. You know, in that sense. But it's just fun to look at others. Here's one. Grow together in Christ alone. With everything the world is dealing with, we want to introduce people to Jesus and help them stay focused on the main thing, Jesus. That's a church in Grant, Nebraska. I'm sorry that they're all in Nebraska. I did not do that on purpose. Just was easy. But I thought it was interesting, Grant, because probably a similar type of community. It's half the size of Ray. And it's E-Free Church up there. Again, just interesting to see. One, I think, said, grow in faith, share Jesus, and serve others. And it's interesting, Mancini in his book says, this is not an easy task. Because he'll say, your mission and vision statement should be one sentence. It's like, oh. Well, and that's challenging. And yet, you know, if we even look, and I don't know how many, I'm not asking for a show of hands, and you're not going to hurt my feelings, I don't have any. And, you know, from the assessment report, you know, but we talked about the strengths as well, and kind of the, you know, as you look at even a mission statement, you go, well, what are our strengths? What makes us unique? And some of the things that you all mentioned, the top three things, and this was huge in percentage-wise, was strong biblical preaching and teaching. So you could say, well, that's what makes us unique. Not that other churches aren't declaring and proclaiming the gospel. We're not saying that. But the second one was inspirational worship, that folks loved it. The third thing was diversity. Probably in professions here and age. I mean, pretty remarkable, I think, for the community. And, you know, so as you look at that even, you go, well, how might that work into a mission statement? What if we use those three kind of strengths of First Christian? Strong biblical teaching in a diverse community that inspires the heart, soul, and mind. Now again, as I think of these, I'm not saying this is what it should be. I don't want to have that kind of influence. It's your church. Now, often I'll use the phrase, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I do. Because we're all linked together. Even when I leave, we're still part of the family of God together, and I care. And it's important. You know, one thing, as we mentioned, or I mentioned, and I asked you the question, you know, you could say, hey, also, what is First Christian Church of Ray known for? And that's why I kind of sent out the also fill in the blank thing. And again, I appreciate your answers. That we would proclaim a message of blank. And it just helps us for a minute, because there's too many thoughts that come to mind, isn't it? And we go, oh, you mean one word? How do I do that? And yet it was interesting. The results was probably the number, well, not probably, because I wrote them down and I know how to count. So the number one answer was hope. To proclaim a message of hope. Another answer was to proclaim truth, the gospel, the good news. There were several, three, that said to proclaim a message of salvation. One said to proclaim a message of grace and truth. One said to proclaim a message of unity. One said to proclaim a message of love. And if you're like me, you go, oh, they all sound good. And again, there's not a right or wrong. It's just trying to capitalize it and condense it and say, wow, what do we want as a statement, as a mission statement in that sense? Again, why do we exist? To proclaim a message, whatever it might be. And maybe it's not one or the other. Maybe it's a message of truth and love. Much like Ephesians 4 tells us, you know, to speak what? The truth in love. If we only do one and we leave out the other, it's not balanced. But again, secondly, so we understand hopefully kind of the mission a little bit. Say, as we think about that. But also, what about a vision? And sometimes they kind of blend together, don't they? It's like, I don't know what the difference is between a mission statement or a vision statement. Well, as I said from the get-go, the mission statement is understanding why do we exist. The vision is kind of the end state, the desired end product, a clear and inspirational long-term desired change resulting for and from the church and its work. Kind of simply stated, how are we going to accomplish the mission? See, because that's probably where, not to say the debate, not in a bad way, but in a good way. That's where the kind of the debate comes, right? It's easy. We could all agree. No one, I don't think, would disagree to say it is a great goal and mission if we just said 1 Corinthians 10:31. Our mission is to glorify God in all that we do. But again, then it becomes one of, well, how do we do that? Where do we do that? When do we do that? How often do we do that? You know, and try to kind of do that, and hopefully the vision kind of does that. One church had for their vision a welcoming and thriving community experience in real faith for real life. Real life is dealing with what we're all dealing with right now, isn't it, in some ways? But, you know, and again, even if we all agree on the mission, you know, how do we do it? How do we fulfill it on a day-to-day basis as a church? And again, there's not really a right or wrong answer necessarily. In terms of how to do that. You know, how do we do it? Well, we're going to do it through preaching, sound biblical preaching. Pastor, I almost called myself chaplain. And, you know, as to, hey, here's what needs to be done. Okay, we all agree. We want sound biblical preaching, you know? Okay, do we want it expository or topical? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a little of both. Maybe one or the other. You know, but again, that's where kind of the rubber starts to meet the road. You know, what about discipleship? If we say, well, we need, and we want to include, and that came out in the interviews, you know, of people desiring discipleship. And we're looking at that. We're trying to figure this out as we figure out other things. You know, but again, you look at that, and Harry had a good point with his statistics. So, you know, but how and when do we do that? Is that done at Sunday school time, Wednesday night, at church, in homes, whatever? And again, hopefully our vision kind of helps clarify that. What about evangelism? Is that something that's done from the pulpit? Is that something that's done separate? Is that something that is done with an altar call? How many grew up with some kind of altar calls at all? Few of you, so you, yeah, that's how I came to know Jesus, you know? Of course, I've worked with one executive officer at Camp Lejeune. He was so hardcore Calvinist, strong Presbyterian guy, great guy. I mean, he just marched whole companies over to the chapel. He didn't care who they were or what they were. Boom. Sir, you can't really do that, but praise God, hallelujah, thank you. You know, but you know, he was so staunch on the sovereignty of God, believed kind of in evangelism, but no, we don't need to do any of that because just God's going to do that work. And you go, yeah, there's truth to that, but I think we still have a part in it, you know, and to be able to do it. So again, it's just figuring stuff like that. You know, as we look at that, and we say, wow, how does that work? Evangelism, is it every Sunday? Is it an altar call? Is it one time a month, one time a year, some big outreach event? Then we go, man, we're putting all our eggs in one basket to say, here's what we do as a church to evangelize the city of Ray. Or no, it's going to be done more, whatever. But that's what a mission and vision statement helps us to clarify and understand, so we're doing these things. Maybe it's something like this: proclaim a message of hope to a hurting and lost world through the power of truth of the gospel message that God loves us, each person, so much that he sent his only one son to die on the cross in our place, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. Now obviously that's using John 3:16 to a lot right there. But again, proclaiming a message of hope to a hurting and lost world through the power of the truth of the gospel message. Again, Jesus came to serve. So hopefully it encompasses to serve God, to serve one another, to serve our community and the world for Jesus. Not only do we want sound biblical preaching, but maybe it could be stated this way: relevant teaching that proclaims the truth in love in a diverse community that stirs the heart, soul, and mind. To proclaim a relevant message of hope. You know, it made me think of it when I read through some of those mission statements of different companies, and I go, you know, they're off. They're not God-centered, obviously, necessarily. But yet, you know, think about it, even some of the Facebook stuff or different, whatever, just some, made me think of the word connect. And again, as we think about our mission, hey, to connect to God, to one another and the world around us for the kingdom. You know, in that sense. I want you to know this as a church, as leaders, we are working hard on a clear mission and vision statement, and also a pastoral profile. You know, what's that? Job description. You think, well, that should be easy. Wanted, Pastor. A little more to it, just so you know. You know? But again, I want you to know that as leaders, we are working hard on a clear mission and vision statement and pastoral profile so that in the weeks to come we can begin our search. Pray and give us your input. And what I mean by that, and you can do it however you'd like to do, but you know, as you think, and hopefully I clarified enough to understand maybe the difference between mission and vision. But I know a lot of you, and I appreciate your answers coming back to me. I know you're engaged. And I appreciate that and would ask for you, I challenge you, to maybe think about this. Start talking about it at lunch today. You know, as in, you know, with somebody. You know, maybe even as families, you know, just say, hey, what do you think would be the mission, a good mission statement for the church? As long as you know that you can't allow your feelings to get hurt if in the end product doesn't have one of your words in it. But I'm sure it will. And some of you have already done this, and I appreciate it. You know, but if you want to add your two cents, we would love your input. There's no prize if you win. Just kind of a selfless act. But to give us your input, and I think the easiest way, I'll tell you, most of you have my email from the thought of the day. Just send me an email back with it, or if not that, a text, or write it and leave it on my desk. I'm going to be out this week. Right as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to get Melden. We're driving to Nevada. I heard it's about 80 degrees there. So, woohoo! And we just have some things to do, and one of them is vote. I know we could have. It's a long story. And so you can do it that way. Email would be the easiest. You can text me, or you can write a hard copy and just leave it on my desk, you know, kind of thing. So one way or another, or do that. But we would love, as leadership, your input, because we're a family, you know. And God, through the Holy Spirit, works through each one of us. And we know that, and we want to take advantage of that, to tell you the truth, quite frankly. And as we do that and we think about that, you know, the big question isn't what we need to do, but why do we do what we do? How do we do it day to day? When do we do it? Where do we do it? How often do we do it? But those are the things. So remember, and I put it in the thought of the day today with the sermon outline. You can reflect back on that if you care in understanding the difference between the mission and the vision. And look at that. In conclusion, prayer that God instills in each one of us and as families, clear mission and vision for Him, but equally important for us as a church. And I hope you understand the importance of this. It will help us move forward in our search for the best pastor for First Christian and into the future to make an impact for His kingdom. Amen. Amen.